It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hi everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of Bavarian Podcast Wars. You're here with me, Samarin, today, and we are going to look back at Bayern's 2-1 victory over Eintracht Frankfurt. So first and foremost, let's start with the lineup. So we don't really know or ever have any clue about what Thomas Tuchel's side might look like ahead of any Champions League game. I guess the one guarantee I can give you is that Müller will not start, because he played 90 again, and that one is pretty much obvious. But as for this one, Tuchel opted, well, Bayern don't have a squad big enough to play an entire B team, of course, but Tuchel opted to start quite a few of the players who will most likely start against Real Madrid, and including, of course, record-chasing Harry Kane, which, I mean, he has to get 6 in 3 remaining to match Robert Lewandowski's record, and it seems like he wants to get it. The way that he took the penalty so fast today, it really does seem like it. But aside from that, the lineups. Mine started with a back four with Mazraoui, Dyer, De Ligt, Kimmich, Neuer in goal, Kane up front, Goretzka, Lime repairing in midfield, Guerrero, Choupo-Moting, and Thomas Muller, the three behind Kane. Lime had to come off pretty early, and Alex Pavlovic stepped in for him in the first half. At halftime, Kim Min-jae came on for Matthijs de Ligt, and about midway through the second half, Birdieboy Matisse-Tel replaced Joshua Kimmich, and Alphonso Davies came in for Nusair Mazraoui. And later on, Lovro Zvonarek, who's been getting a run out here and there, came in for Rafael Guerrero, and poor Brian Zaragoza remained on the bench, as did Sven Ulreich. The only two unused substitutes for this one, Jamal Musiala and Leroy Sané, were not even in the squad. Serge Gnabry looks like he's on the comeback trail, and maybe he may be ready for Real Madrid. As for Eintracht Frankfurt, they started with a 3-5-2 trap and goal. Patrick Hoke and Tuta as a back three. Getze, Shkiri and Kinalv as a three in midfield. Dina Ebimbe and Buta as wingbacks. And Ikitike and Marmoush up front. So, Bayern started really, really well. And Leimer won the ball early on in midfield. Kane scored from Leimer's pass. And it looked like it would be one-way traffic. But then Eintracht started to grow into the game, and with a superb piece of skill, Hugo Ekitike scored after William Pacho passed the ball to him. And it was, Ekitike is such an exceptional player, and Eintracht Frankfurt have really gotten a good deal here with being able to sign him, by being able to trigger a clause and buy him permanently, making him a Frankfurt player. He's really, really exceptional, and he's a lot of fun to watch. From there, Frankfurt grew into the game. Bayern had chances, of course. There was that Muller ball that just skidded wide of the post. Then Muller set up Rafa Guerrero. His attempt going, being saved by trap, and then somehow hitting the frame of the goal and bouncing out rather than in. In the second half, Bayern also had chances. Aside from that goal, the penalty goal from Kane, Muller had two good chances. One diverted by a Frankfurt player. I want to say it was Koke. And the other one, Muller kind of skied a little bit over from a volley. But yeah, the winning goal actually changed the context of the game, because until then, Frankfurt were going into the game and somewhat looked like the more likely side to score. What ended up happening was Koke elbowed Muller, an off-the-ball incident in the penalty box, and those are rarely given. But Muller's loud, and if he says enough, the referee does, you know, think about it. And the referee went to VAR, to the video assistant referee. He was told to look at the incident. He decided within seconds that an elbow to the face constitutes a penalty. And so Bayern got a penalty, and Kane converted for yet another goal from the penalty spot. I am actually genuinely curious about how many goals Kane has scored from the penalty spot. So just for the sake of that, I really do want to look this up, because it seems like it's a pretty high number. Kane did have a moment today where it seemed like he was gonna come off injured, but he stayed on, and yeah, he continued on in the game. Well, I can't seem to find it, but I really am curious, like I mentioned. So that was pretty much the story of the match. I thought it was a really, really good game to watch. Like, just fantastic. And it was just so much fun. And I felt bad for Eintracht Frankfurt, because Frankfurt has been running into the same troubles all season long. They don't have a proper recognized striker, and Marmoush has been carrying the goals for them a lot. So, oh, I found it. So, surprisingly, only 4 of Kane's 35 have come from penalties. I feel like part of me still thinks of his Tottenham days when he would be scoring penalties against Arsenal. But yeah, it's only 4. Huh, that's surprising. And he's had a decent 8 assists. That's very, very good from Kane. But going back to where we were with Frankfurt, I thought Frankfurt had so much going for them. They have guys like Tina Bimbe who are fast, who are really, really supremely skilled. They can play through the lines. When you have Mario Götze, why not? When you... there was such exceptional play. Oscar Knauf, who was a little down today, normally that chance that he had might have resulted in a goal, because he tends to smash those in, but his attempt was a soft one at Neuer. But Frankfurt doesn't really have an end product. And that is what the difference between having a striker and not having a striker can do. Once upon a time, Frankfurt had Randall Colomwani. Just, even if he wasn't scoring a lot of goals, they had a focal point to play off of. Before Colomwani, they had Rafael Santos Borre, who, again, not a fantastic striker by any means. I mean, part of Frankfurt legend now because of those goals in the Europa League, but still a focal point to play off of. And Frankfurt, this, I feel like, might be Frankfurt's downfall if they don't end up finishing sixth this season. And with the kind of players that they have, they should really actually make a push for top 4. But if they do finish sixth, rightfully, Frankfurt will be the sixth best team in Germany, behind Leverkusen, Bayern, Stuttgart, Leipzig, Dortmund, because that's exactly where they are. However, I would go as far as to venture that any of the 5 above them, Frankfurt will give a good game to. I mean, Frankfurt's beaten Bayern already this season. Frankfurt lost a tight game to Stuttgart, 2-1, I think it was. They beat Leipzig 1-0. So, and they drew against Dortmund 3-3. I don't remember the results against Leverkusen, but I think one of the 2 games was very, very close. So, Frankfurt can give teams a tough time. But this goal problem, it's so apparent, because Frankfurt scored only 47 goals this season. Compare that to the next nearest team, Dortmund 59, Leipzig 73, Stuttgart 68, Bayern 89, Leverkusen 75. Freiburg, who has struggled for goals as well, has scored only 4 less than Frankfurt at 43. Augsburg scored more goals at 48. Hoffenheim has scored more goals at 55. And it's quite surprising, and there's more teams. Borussia Mönchengladbach 53. So Frankfurt, I think, could benefit from buying a striker. An average striker will do, because the cast around the striker is going to be fantastic, but they can't really rely on Marmoush, who's more of like a playmaker or a winger type, to score goals for them all season long, even though he's done well. To his credit, he's had a good season. He scored, I believe, 11 in the league. Omar Marmoush, yeah, he scored 11 goals in the league, and that's a good count from a winger. Ansar Kenauf has chipped in with 7. It's not a vintage attacking season from Frankfurt, and this squad has so much more to give. And I genuinely think that with the proper cast, Frankfurt, with the proper reinforcements, Frankfurt will do well. And I really thought today that Coke incident being a penalty was very unlucky, because those are so rarely given. Even though you can't really discount the fact that it was a foul, it was unlucky for Frankfurt. Luckily for them, Freiburg lost, Augsburg lost, so they got to hold on to 6th comfortably, and the gap to 7th and 8th stayed the same. The only problem for Frankfurt is Hoffenheim did win, and Hoffenheim is not completely out of that conversation at 39, 6 points behind Frankfurt. So, yeah, more to be seen there. But we'll talk more about Bayern, of course, after we take this short break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi everybody, welcome back, and now let's talk about Bayern. So there are a couple things I wanted to point out about today. I thought Müller was excellent. He was just all over the place, and it's so wonderful how effective he can even be on the wing, even when he's not playing centrally. His form, he's been so good in the last few games. I mean, I know he might not see a minute of action against Real Madrid. I'm pretty sure he will not see a minute of action against Real Madrid, unless like he is, I guess, the last player remaining on Bayern's bench not named Brian Zaragoza. But he's been so good to watch, and I'm kind of sad he didn't get 100 and goal number 150 today, because he definitely had the chances to. But I also want to talk about Bayern losing the ball. I thought it happened far too often. It just felt like, not that there wasn't a lot to play for, because Bayern did play well for large swaths of that game, and then seeing out the match, they did really well when it came to seeing out the match at 2-1. But just in pockets of space, and Frankfurt is a really good team, so nothing, I'm not taking away from Frankfurt here, but it was just, it felt too often, and there are holes there to exploit, is what I'm getting at. And Bayern will need to hold on to the ball better against Real Madrid. Now, Alphonso Davies came on, and he wasn't great. I'm not going to say he was absolutely poor, but he wasn't great. And I think it's worth thinking about what is going to happen against Real Madrid. I think players who will definitely play, of course, aside from Kimmich, Goretzka, and Kane, and Neuer, the obvious ones, include Rafael Guerrero and Nusair Mazraoui. I think we're going to see Dier and Matthijs de Ligt. Matthijs de Ligt is going to depend on his substitution at halftime, like how severe that injury is. I think we're going to see Alex Pavlovich, because I'm not sure Laimer comes back for this. And of course, there are the injured cast members who are not part of this game right now. But I am wondering what the status of Jamal Musiala and Leroy Sané are, and Serge Gnabry are. I expect all three to at least be back in the squad, and at least one of the three to be on the pitch. But we're going to see. I don't think Thomas Tuchel is going to go for a standard 4-2-3-1. I doubt it. But with that game lurking, it just seems that there's a bit of a joy around Bayern's game from time to time. Ever since, I guess, the end of the Bundesliga came, once Leverkusen had won it, Bayern officially qualified for the Champions League today. So now there is actually really nothing to play for. Second, third, and fourth are all the same. There's, of course, competitive integrity to play for, because Bayern plays Hoffenheim on the last day. Bayern has Stuttgart before that, I think the next match day, and Wolfsburg in between. Wolfsburg are kind of sort of involved down there. Hoffenheim might be playing for a European spot. until that last match day, going into that last match day. Stuttgart's top four spot, I don't think, is confirmed yet. I'm recording this before they're playing Leverkusen, so who knows, it might get confirmed today, although, you know, never lose and not about to lose. I don't think that's happening. In terms of what else is, what else caught my eye in the game, Matthijs de Ligt came on, and as ever, he was hard working. He turned 19 today, and he's just such a great talent to have on the team. I thought Alex Pavlovich did really well holding on to the ball after he came on, and he had to come on really, really early. So, other than that, there's not much to add on about this game. Just to give you a roundup of what else happened in the Bundesliga, Borussia Dortmund got absolutely hammered by RB Leipzig today, 4-1. Oof. As we mentioned, Freiburg and Augsburg lost, respectively, to Wolfsburg and Werder Bremen. And yesterday, in a fantastic match, Bochum, 3-0 up, finished the game at 3-2 against Hoffenheim, who really, really did threaten to come back. And poor Bochum, they've lost so many matches from winning positions. So it was great to see them actually see it out. That meant their victory meant Union Berlin kind of got dragged back into things and are now sitting 15th or 29 points. Mainz and Köln are set to play each other on 27 and 22 points respectively. If Mainz wins that one, Köln can say goodbye pretty much to the Bundesliga. Darmstadt are not mathematically out of it, but they are 10 points behind Mainz, not mathematically out of the relegation playoff, that is. And mathematically, they're out of safety pretty much, because they're, well, 12 points behind Union Berlin with, I believe, well, they still have 4 games to play. Bayern played today already, so Bayern has 3 games left over. But I guess to end it all, I think we will see a stronger Eintracht Frankfurt next season. I don't know what Bayern we will see against Real Madrid, because it's very, very hard to predict what Tuchel does. As a tactician, I guess that's the fact that he's unpredictable is great, but it, you know, consistency, having consistency used to be nice. But we're going to find out. So, as always, please come over to Bavarian Football Works for all of your up-to-date news on Bayern Munich and Germany. Of course, you can listen to Bavarian Podcast Works to hear about it all. We have wonderful voices on the podcast. We have I Need No Name, who you can find at BFW Inn. We have Chuck Smith at the Barrel Blog. We have Tom Adams. We have Marcus on the show these days as well. We have Siler, just an array of voices. So please come, please listen to us, please comment, and yeah, so enjoy. I hope you enjoyed the game today. I hope Real Madrid will be enjoyable. That's it for me, Samrin. Take care, enjoy the rest of your day.